there are some sins that will follow you around like a scar. People will see it on you when you walk past them. They'll be like, man, they must have been into some bad stuff when they were younger. How can you tell? Well, look at that poor guy. They're messed up.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Waiting for God and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today we're going to be talking about waiting for God. How many of you are waiting for God for something? You've been praying, waiting for an answer, hoping that God's going to show up in your circumstances? Raise your hand if you're waiting on God for something. Waiting for something to get better in your life, maybe? Waiting for a better job, a job, period? Waiting for God. You know, God's got a lot of time on his hand, doesn't he? That could be kind of scary when we pray because you never know. The Bible says 1,000 years is like a day to him. He looks down at his watch and you're an old man or an old woman and a second's gone by for him, right? He's got a lot of patience, doesn't he? But today we're going to be talking about waiting for God, waiting for God. Let's please stand while we read this verse. It's going to be a key verse, Psalm 33:20. I'll be reading out the New King James Version today. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Oh, I love this topic, waiting on the Lord. I love this. Because you know what? Waiting on God can be one of the most difficult things you ever have to do in your life. And not only is it difficult, but it is an opportune time for Satan to come in and mess with you. And when we're waiting for God, Satan is searching for an opportunity to come in and get you because he wants you to miss the timing of God. How many of you know that God has your life perfectly timed out? He knows everything that you ever did. He knows everything that you're thinking and doing right now. But more than that, he knows where you're going to be next year, in 10 years. He knows when you're going to die. He knows how you're going to die. He knows why you're going to die. He knows everything about you. So if he knows all of that, that means he has a roadmap for you. Amen? Because he's already got it planned out. See, we see to the corner, but the good Lord sees what's around those corners in life. As we look straight ahead into time, and we can only imagine what tomorrow's going to bring, God has it down flat, and he's looking above, and he sees every path you could possibly take. And without prayer, and without waiting and obedience with God, you can make mistakes. You will make mistakes, put it that way. And the devil is counting on this, to miss God's timing, to be impatient. Our soul waits for the Lord. Our souls waits for the Lord. Waiting, number one, waiting brings strength from God. Listen, while you asking God for something in your life to change or to happen or to go away, you should be praying for strength. The prophet Isaiah says in 40:31, Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. This is your beloved friend. This is your beloved father. This is God. When we go to God and we start praying to him while we're waiting, we will feel his presence come into our lives if we're truly seeking his face. And we will have our strength renewed. God can give you the strength to endure things that you thought you never could go through if you wait on him. if you trust in him, if you believe in him, if you trust in the Lord, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. That doesn't mean to wait on the Lord. It doesn't mean to go out and do it your way. It doesn't mean to say, well, God understands that I have to do this wrong to get by in this situation. That's not waiting on God. Waiting on God says, God, I'm in a tough spot and I need some strength because I can't go on another day. Now, there's some things, God, that I've been thinking about doing to my neighbor, to my friend, or to this enemy of mine. I could take matters into my own hand, God. I could do this. I want to do this. I want to. But more than that, I want to be right with you, God. I want to do the right thing. Give me strength, God, to do the right thing. Give me strength to sit still and believe. Some Christians lack the strength they need to be a blessing to others. They unsuccessfully depend on self-effort. I have a lot of talents, and I'm not saying that to boast. But I know that as much as I have skill, I still can't do everything without the Lord's help. I could not do this without the Holy Spirit because I cannot minister to people unless I got God flowing through me to tell me what they need to hear. But some Christians lack the strength they need to be a blessing to others. Listen to them, a blessing to others, not to yourself. Listen, when things are going wrong in your life, why don't you look around to see what you can make right in somebody else's life? Well, my life's messed up. I might as well help somebody with theirs. I was so far down in the pit, I couldn't do anything for myself. I messed my whole entire life up. I thought everybody else did it. But we all make choices, right? We all have to take responsibility in the things that we do. And God said, why don't you try to help somebody else? Because you obviously can't help yourself. You're too far in the pit. And I realized something. When I was out busy helping somebody else, guess what? The Lord was busy sending people to help me. Amen. Okay, listen. Waiting for God is impossible without his help. We must rely on God in order to wait on him. See, there's a key to this. Because I know some of you are thinking in your hearts, Pastor, God's never helped me. I can't wait on him. He's too slow. I want what I have going on fixed yesterday. But did you know that God isn't worried about fixing what's wrong with your life? He's trying to fix you. I prayed one day, God, take it all away. And he said, no, I work at the speed of life, not the speed of light, James. Well, what do you mean the speed of life? Your life. Well, what's taking you so long? You? Me? Oh, you're disobedient, you're not surrendering, and you're asking for all the wrong things. What am I asking that's wrong, God? I don't understand, God. What do you mean? I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. But see, when we're talking about waiting on God, we're not talking about waiting with time. We're talking about waiting with worship. But we're always seeking the wrong stuff. God, I need a better job. No one gets along with me. Everybody hates me at my job. So love them. Love them. Hey, what reward is it if you're only going to love the people that love you? That's easy. It's easy for me to love my wife. Loving my enemy is another problem now. That's a whole different matter, isn't it? I got an enemy that I want God to take out of my life. God says, no, you change. You get along with your enemy. You love your enemy. My enemy hates me, God. Well, you love him. I loved you, James, when you were a sinner before you were saved. I still saved you, didn't I? Praise God, right? So we got to ask for God's help, and we must rely on him. We actually have to come to God and say, well, I need your help. I need it. I need your help. I prayed one time, and the Lord brought what I needed. And I was so proudful that when it came, I was trying not to accept it from the person who has delivered it to me. And they said, well, you know, I was praying this morning. They told me this. And the Lord told me to give this to you. And then it dawned on me, this is the thing I was praying for. And now I was too proudful to accept it. Pride can keep you from your blessings, and it can keep you from waiting on God. To wait for God does not mean to do nothing. God wants to use our time, talents, and treasures while we wait for him, trusting him for needed strength. To wait for God does not mean to do nothing, okay? It doesn't just mean, well, I prayed, nothing happened. Guess I'll just go sit down and do nothing at all now. It's just, God's taking too long. No, he wants us to surrender our time to him, our talents, and our treasures. Man, Pastor, you're asking me to give my whole life away.
Mm-hmm.
Not to me. See, here's the trick. If you give those things to God, he will tell you who to serve, who to bless, who to love, who to take care of. Praise God. Because I'm trusting him with my time and my talents and my treasures. I'm trusting him with these things. Psalms 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait. He says it twice. But what else does it say? Be of good courage. You know, it takes courage to wait on God. It's a scary thing when something needs to happen or something needs to go away in your life and it's not taking place and you can't see it. It becomes scary that you're trusting God and you can't see him. And you're laying it all on the line. Okay, second, waiting brings security from God. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Now listen to this. People tell me all the time, I got to do something. Everyone else is doing it. You can get results on your own. There's people out there that will cheat the system. You see somebody who steals and they got more than you. And you say in your heart, you know, that's the only way I can make it. They're getting away with it. Man, nobody gets away with anything. You might get away with it for a while because God's giving you the grace to repent. But the Bible says that every man and woman shall reap what they sow, that God won't be mocked. So we have to rest in the Lord. Resting means trusting. Resting doesn't mean, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. Okay, you're not helping me. I'm going to go do something really quick now to help myself. That's not resting. That's not peace. That's not peace. Don't fret. Don't look at this guy down the street because he's doing better than you because he's cheating the system. His day is coming. His day is coming, I promise you. I've seen the people who don't do it God's way, and it catches up with them one way or the other. It always does. It always does. There is little peace and quiet in today's world. Noise, strife, and distraction are the order. Have you noticed that? It's abnormal for a person to be peaceful in a crisis. It's abnormal for people to have peace in a crisis. They think there's something wrong with you when their world's falling apart or your world is falling apart and you're calm about it because you're trusting God. They look at you like, what's the matter with you? Are you crazy? We cannot allow the sinful actions of others around us to cause us to miss God's timing, nor to excuse ourselves from sin. John did it. Wasn't my fault that I saw him do it and I just went along. Jane did it too. I was just following them. Everybody's doing it. It's on TV. They're doing it on TV. And you ought to see what I got in my email the other day. I went to his website. Man, they're doing some bad stuff on that website. But it must be okay because everybody's doing it. And if they're getting away with it, then why shouldn't I be able to do it? I don't make the rules, guys. I don't make the rules. God made the rules. And what he calls sin, it's sin, period. Sin is missing the mark, by the way. That word actually means missing the mark. I've missed the mark with God. I'm not perfect. I'm not all loving. I'm not all good. I'm not God. I've missed the mark. But that doesn't mean I want to stay missing the mark. You touch something hot, you pull your hand away, don't you? Or do you just leave it on the fire? When you continue in a life of sin and you continue in it, you are leaving your hand on the burner. And you know what? What happens when you leave your hand in the fire too long? It burns, don't it? And it starts to hurt more, doesn't it? Right? What else does it do? It scars you. You might get away quick enough where it won't scar you, but I'll tell you what, you live in sin long enough, that stuff will follow you the rest of your life. There are some sins that will follow you around like a scar People will see it on you when you walk past them. They'll be like, man, they must have been into some bad stuff when they were younger. How can you tell? Well, look at that poor guy. They're messed up. Amen. Many Christians fail to rest in the Lord and wait for him. They lead complicated lives by moving ahead of God's timing and taking matters into their own hands. Wait on God. Wait on God. We talked a lot about Abraham last week. Abraham was told by God he was going to have a baby. And he says, I'm too old. Oh, he was using his mind and not his soul. His heart with God was out of alignment. He was using his own human understanding. And his wife got an idea. Because, see, she was barren. She couldn't have any more babies. And God promised them one. They didn't believe him. So his wife had a great idea. Take my handmaiden. And being a man, he agreed to that, didn't he? Didn't sound like a bad idea at the time, did it? Huh, guys? Help me out. So she had a baby with him. She had a baby named Ishmael. Because Abraham didn't wait on God. We don't want to miss God's timing. Listen, I'm telling you right now. The devil will lie to you. He'll say, wherever you are right now, this is where it's going to be for the rest of your life. And then he will go through your entire life and let you think about this stuff. This is his tactic. He will show you every negative thing that ever happened in your life, every mistake you ever made, every person that ever hurt you, betrayed you, lied to you, you name it, he will do it. And he will tell you, it's never going to get any better. It's always going to be this way. Don't believe the preacher man, because what does he know? He doesn't know anything about you. He doesn't understand what you've been through. Who is he to tell you about your life? That's a lie. You start hearing that stuff in your head, that is a lie. It's true that I don't know everything about you, but God does. Can you agree with that? God knows everything about you, and he still loves you. Try opening up to somebody that you call your best friend and tell them everything about you. Man, they'll be heading for the door. You know they would. But you don't want to miss God's timing, because I'm going to tell you something. God has a plan for everybody. A plan for everybody. Man, I heard that so many times, Pastor. You know, I was 37 years old before I came to Jesus Christ. I wasn't planning on being an old pastor. I wasn't planning on even being a Christian. And now I'm running the church, and I couldn't do that without the past experience that God was ordering my footsteps to do, because he knew I was going to be a pastor. He knew I needed those skills, and he knew I wasn't going to go to school for all of that stuff. I went to school for some of it, but what I didn't go, he took me through experience, and I wasn't even planning it myself. This wasn't even in my plans to do this. Now, I started at 37, and some of you are younger than 37. And you might think that's kind of old. And I used to think it was till I hit it. But the point is that it's never too late. It's never too late. No matter what you've done, God has forgiven you for it. And he wants to make use of the rest of your time on this planet. Listen, if God didn't want to use Christians, then we would just be saved and drop dead on the spot and we go to heaven. But he wants to use you, right? Jesus said to the disciples that they would do greater things or more things than he did, because there was going to be more of us, and he only had a 3-year ministry. Jesus started at 30, and they crucified him at 33. He had a 3-year ministry. And look at this, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about what he's done. He made an impact, didn't he? We can make an impact. We have Jesus on the inside of us. We can make a difference in somebody else's life. Don't miss God's timing. Don't miss his timing. Don't do that to yourselves. Because listen, you can miss God's timing. God can tell you to do something and you don't do it. And guess what? You can miss the bus. You can miss it. You can miss a blessing. We must take time to get quiet before the Lord. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. First of all, you got to be still. What does being still mean? Does it mean sitting on your hands and not doing anything? Okay? While you're waiting on God, you faithfully attend church. You faithfully witness to your neighbors and your friends. You tell them about God. You pray. You read your Bible. Being still means you don't let your heart get out of control. You don't get panicky. You don't freak out and say, I'm going to do something on my own now, God. No, you based in his peace that surpasses all understanding. And then, after you do that, you come to the knowledge that he is God. Are you God? Then why are you trying to handle your life? Jesus says, you call me Lord, Lord, yet you don't do what I say. Why would you call God your Lord if you're not doing what he's telling you to do? Right? And know that I am God. I'm not God. You're not God. There's no gods out there. There's no Buddha that you can pray to. Sorry. That man's dead. He never raised himself from the dead. He's gone. He's dust. Waiting brings stability from God. You want to be stable in your life? Psalm 41 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Let's stop right there. The worst thing a Christian can do to somebody is tell their daddy on them. When a Christian gets hurt and they start praying, I feel sorry for whoever hurt them, because God takes care of his babies. He takes care of his children. That doesn't mean that God walks around zapping people, but I tell you what, you better not be messing with Christians. You better not be messing with your fellow brothers and sisters, because we have a daddy, and daddy takes care of his children. The Bible says he chastises those whom he loves. So even if you are a Christian, you better not be messing around with other Christians, because he wouldn't love you if he didn't give you correction, right? So we have a dad, a spiritual father. It says he inclined to me and he heard my cry. This guy was crying out and God heard him from the throne of heaven. How many of you, until you read this, thought that God was so far up in heaven he just couldn't hear you? He just did not hear you. He couldn't see you. He didn't even care. No, God cares. God cares, and he hears your cries. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. I've been in that pit. Some of you have been in deeper pits. Some of you are in a pit right now. You better start crying out to God. I need you, Lord. I need you. Help me. Tell me what I need to do. He'll bring you out. Obedience is rewarded. Obedience does not get us salvation. Grace gives us salvation. We go to the Father when we die because Jesus took our sins upon himself. But obedience in this life is a necessity to get blessings. God will not reward anybody that is not obedient. He won't do that. Teaches you to do wrong. Cry out to him. God hears our cries for help, and he answers them. Are we getting this now? God hears our cries for help. God delivers those who wait for him. He blesses those who stay obedient to him. He sets them on solid ground. You want to be on solid ground with God? Be in obedience to him. Say, God, I'm sorry for what I've been doing. I'm sorry. And not only am I sorry, God, but I want the strength to turn away from it, God. I don't even want to look at my sin. And if there's anybody that I know that's in this sin, this lifestyle, God, take them out of my life. I don't want those people around me, God, because they're going to lead me astray again. Just by being around them, God, I'm going to be tempted to do the things that they're doing. Because it looks enjoyable. It looks fun. And sin is enjoyable for a season. Sin is fun for a while. But then the consequences come knocking at the door. Then we don't want to answer it, do we? But if we wait on God and we do it his way, will it be easy? No. The world is against you. Your flesh is against you. Your friends are against you. The devil, man, he's out to get you. He's playing for keeps. So no, it's not going to be easy. That's why we need a church family. We need people that will stand up and not only tell us when we're doing the right thing, but rebuke us when we're doing the wrong thing. I don't want a friend that just tells me everything I want to hear. I want somebody that tells me some things that I need to hear. That's what a church family is about. A church family is when you see somebody in trouble, you come up and you help them. When you see someone walking into trouble, you come over and stop them. At least you try. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Why would you want to do that to yourself? Because it's fun. Today it's fun, but tomorrow there's a price. Amen? We must wait patiently on the Lord in prayer and study and obedience of His Word, trusting Him to stabilize our lives. Waiting for God builds our faith in Him. It strengthens our hope in Him. It builds patience and trust. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." For waiting brings submission to God. God can put you in a spot where you have to wait. He can put you in a spot where you got no choice but to wait. He'll keep you there until you realize that submitting to Him is your only choice. He'll break your free will. He won't take it. He'll just break it. He got all time in the world. He'll say, "I didn't put you here. You got yourself here, but I ain't getting you out either." God ain't going to condemn you, but He doesn't have to pull you out of the fire either, does He? He can just leave you there. Luke 22:42, "Father, if it is your will," this is Jesus praying in the garden before they crucified Him, before they arrested Him, "take this cup away from me, the cup of wrath." The wrath was ours. God was mad at us, not Jesus. "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus was submitting to God. He had a ministry of 3 years. He was 33 years old, and He knew they were about to arrest Him, and He was going to be nailed to the cross. And He prayed, "Not my will, but your will." He was surrendering to God because He knew that He was going to buy us back from hell. Because anybody that does not accept Jesus Christ is going there. In perhaps His most excruciating, you know where we get the word excruciating from? Crucifixion. That's where the word comes from. In His most excruciating hour, Jesus waited in prayer. He yielded His will to His heavenly Father's will. We must wait on the Lord, submitting our will to God as Jesus did. God's will is always best. Listen, guys, if you want your will to line up with God's, you got to know what God's will is. You got to read your Bible. I don't have a Bible. I got free Bibles. You can have one. Anybody that doesn't have a Bible, you can have one. But I don't understand it. Listen, ask me a question. I'll do my best to answer it, right? But I just don't know what to do. Keep coming to church. God will keep teaching you. The Bible says all men shall be taught by God. Listen, nobody in this room, including me, has no excuse not to do what God wants them to do because He's placed you here for a reason today. Count yourself blessed because there's people out there who are not in church today, who are not hearing this message, who are going to continue down the road of destruction. Amen? We should surrender all to God, totally committing our lives to Him, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Conclusion. Waiting for God takes courage. Everybody, flex your muscle. Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm tough." You ain't that tough. Waiting for God takes courage, amen? Doesn't it? No matter how big and bad you are, you can always do something to yourself that hurts you more than somebody else ever hurt you. I'm my worst enemy. I don't need any enemies. I got me. Waiting for God means to rely on God for strength. To rely on God. But you need God for that real strength. And third, to wait for God, you must first accept Jesus Christ. Otherwise, God is not going to show up in your circumstances. Now listen, you can know about Jesus. You could hear about Jesus. You could read about Jesus. That's an intellectual connection that you have with God. You know something. But do you know someone?
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.